The Lord's word is our parachute. So when you're standing next to the ledge and you slip off, you got the word of God to fall back on. But if you're ignoring the commands of God, then the blessings are null. They're no longer effective, okay? And the curses come into effect.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Blessings and Curses and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today we're going to be talking about blessings and curses. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 24, this is a long passage, guys. This is a long passage. And I want to tell you something up front. This is not meant to scare you. God has listed the blessings first, okay? And when we're going over this, we're talking about doing it God's way versus doing it the world's way or your own way. And I'm talking about living your life. This is meant to bless you, not to scare you, not to make you think that God is standing up there in heaven waiting to zap you for everything that you're about to do wrong. Obviously, God wants us to be blessed, or he wouldn't give us the way in his word to be blessed by him, right? So this is what this is about today. This is about getting the blessings from God. I'm going to go ahead and read this and just follow along. I'm reading out of the NIV, Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 24. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left. Follow other gods and serving them. Okay, I'm going to stop right there and just pause and let's talk about some of these blessings here real quick. You see that God is talking to the Israelites. This is the Old Testament. Moses is giving the law to the people, and he's letting them know that when I give you these instructions, if you follow them, You're going to be blessed. The thing about blessings is, and curses, is that they're built into the system. If you step away from God, you step away from blessings automatically. Now, you might do all right for a while, stepping away from God. You might achieve some of the things that you think you want and need, but that doesn't mean you're going to hang on to them. You follow what I'm saying? So when you listen to what God is telling you to do in your life, and you're obeying the word of God in the Bible, your blessings will be automatic. And it does work. We all know that if you jump off a building, you're going to hit the ground, right? Unless you obey the law of physics and have a parachute or something else that's going to soften your landing, right? So is it with the word of God? The Lord's word is our parachute. So when you're standing next to the ledge and you slip off, you got the word of God to fall back on. But if you're ignoring the word of God, if you're ignoring the commands of God, then the blessings are null. They're no longer effective, okay? And the curses come into effect. Again, this is not God standing up in heaven saying, I'm going to get you. I think we all know right from wrong because we all have a conscience, right? And we don't always listen to that conscience, do we? We sometimes listen to what we want. But God says that if you listen to what he wants, the blessings are going to come into effect. So now we're going to look at what the curses will be if a person steps out of the will of God. And I want to put this into context before I start reading this, because the curses are scary. They're scary. But I want you to look at some of the people that you see struggling in life right now. And I don't want you to be judgmental on those people. But I'm sure that we all know some people that we can see their lifestyle and notice that they're making non-biblical choices in their life. And you can see the consequences of those non-biblical choices. Can you not? That's not judging. That's just common sense. You look at somebody and you see them struggling in an area, and you look how they're not applying the word of God in that area, and you can put two and two together and figure out that they're experiencing the curse rather than the blessing. So now we're going to be talking about, we're going to go with a section that talks about the curses. Curses for disobedience. And now we're in verse 15. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. This is a warning. It's not a threat. Anybody know what the difference between a warning and a threat is? A threat is something that might happen. A warning is something that will happen. Okay? You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in, and cursed when you go out. Notice how you can't outrun the curse. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you iron. The Lord will turn the rain of the country into dust and powder. It will come down and the skies from the skies until you are destroyed. That sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? See, when you get into the Old Testament, you understand, after you read through it and study it with a good Bible study, God was dealing with some hard people. And he was building a nation out of these people. And these people were very prone to being disobedient to God. Now, let me explain something to you. God was trying to train these people up to be a nation that would glorify him. And he had a covenant with them. Old Testament means covenant, the old covenant, the old deal, the old oath between the two of them. And their deal was, if you follow me, I'll bless you. If you step away from me, I'll curse you. Do you understand that? Now, think about this. Now, I know not everybody in here is married, but I'm sure that most of us all have been in relationships. If you are married to somebody or committed to somebody in an intimate relationship, and that person betrays you, do you not feel anger towards that person? Do you not feel as if everything that you've done for that person should be revoked when they betrayed you? So is it with God. When we come to God and we say we are Christians and we say we are following you, and then we live in a disobedient life, we are breaking our oath with him, and God considers us his bride. When you think about a relationship with people and you think about yourself being betrayed in that relationship, this is how God feels. So why should he bless you when you're betraying him? Would you do that with a spouse that was cheating on you? Well, if you remember, God mentions, if you turn away from him, serving other gods, to him, that's spiritual adultery. That's cheating on him. There are no other gods, but we can invent gods in our minds. So that's how we put this into contrast. So I know that these curses sound harsh, but God's not playing with his relationship with you. You all know that if you guys abuse drugs, right, some of this stuff that God's talking about is going to happen to you, isn't it? You're going to lose your job. You could. I know that there are some people that show up to work and they're higher than a kite. I know that. I've seen them in my own workplace doing that. But that doesn't mean that they're going to hang on to that very long. You continue on in that path of destruction, and that's what it is, and you will be destroyed. Now, God's putting it into the context of how these Israelites lived in that day. Of course, we live in a modern world. We don't necessarily have livestock, although there are farmers who do, but we have other possessions that are important to ourselves. And what God is saying is when you get into a life of sin, these things are going to happen to you. These things are going to happen to you. You go out and murder somebody, what's going to happen to you? If you get caught, and you probably will in this day and age, you're going to go to prison, you're going to lose everything God's talking about, and you can get sick in jail, you could get hurt in jail. There's a lot of bad things that can happen to people in jail, right? That's not a fun place to be. That's part of the curse. Now, I'm trying to put this in the context here so we don't just look at this as livestock and kneading baskets and stuff like that. I want to put it into a modern-day perspective when I say things like this. So let's talk about obtaining the blessings of God. Because remember, he listed the blessings first, did he not, in this chapter? Why is that? Because God is slow to anger and quick to mercy. He doesn't want these things happening to you. But you know, there's got to be consequences, right? That's why we have laws. We have laws so people don't hurt us, right? We have laws so that people don't steal from us, right? If you look at our laws, they're almost based on the Ten Commandments, aren't they? Somebody gets caught stealing, they go to jail, right? Somebody gets caught murdering somebody, they put them to death in most states, don't they? In a lot of states, you get the death sentence for killing somebody. So, obtaining the blessings of God. Obedience is the first step to blessings. Obedience is the first step to blessings. If somebody is showing you the way to do something and you don't do it, then you're doing it the wrong way and you will not reap the reward. God in his word shows us the right way of living. And if you don't live that right way, you will miss out on the blessing. So obedience is the first step to blessings. Okay? If you don't show up to church on a regular basis, you're going to miss the blessings of the word of God. If you don't change the oil in your car, you're not going to have a car very long. Okay, so obedience is the first step to blessings. No matter where you are, the blessings will find you. Isn't that wonderful? You're not going to outrun the blessings from God. They will overtake you. These blessings will find you. You couldn't even hide from them if you tried. You could move 1,000 miles away and God will hunt you down and bless you there. Now, isn't that a comforting thought? That's a comforting thought, isn't it? That you cannot outrun or hide from these blessings. You, your children, and your possessions will be blessed. When you live obedient to God, not only yourself will be blessed, but your children and the things around you will be blessed. Because you are applying the word of God to your life and to your children and to the things in your life. I like to look at it this way. God is life. He's many things, including love, but he's also life. So whatever you apply the word of God to, you're going to bring life to it. How could you not? You put mayonnaise on a sandwich, you're going to get mayonnaise on the sandwich, right? You put the word of God over your life, you're going to have life over your things. Do you guys understand that? You're going to fill the things in your life with life because God is life. And when you put his word to it, you're bringing life to your life. Your enemies will be defeated. Your enemies. When you're in obedience to God, your enemies can't touch you. They have no cause to even accuse you. Now, they might accuse you, and they might come up against you. It doesn't say anything about them not attacking you. But they will be defeated because you'll be having God fight your battles for you. Your job and your work will be blessed. I don't know of any person I've ever met who applied the word of God to his job who wasn't blessed. Who wasn't blessed. They apply it and it works. Every single time. If you show up to your job and you're loyal and you're trustworthy and you got the character of Christ within you and you show that on the job, you perform as a Christian on your job, I guarantee you, you're going to excel at your work. It's just a byproduct. It's going to happen. I know it because I've seen it done, and I have done it myself, and it's always worked. When I did not apply the word of God to my job, things started going downhill pretty quick. It works. Bring the character of Christ into your job or anything else that you want to start working for you, and it will start to be a blessing. Your witness for Christ will be blessed. Now listen to this. How can a person invite another person to church or tell them about Jesus when they themselves appear to be lost? You cannot show up at parties drinking and cutting up or bars or cursing and acting the fool and then tell somebody at work who knows that you do these things or a friend who knows that you do these things. You can't approach them and say, hey, come to church with me. Why? You're more messed up than I am. They may not say that to your face, but they'll be thinking that. So how can you have a witness if you're disobedient to God? How can you do that? You're supposed to be the light. So you won't have that blessing upon you. People won't look at you in a different light. They'll put you in the category of themselves. I don't need to go to church because I don't see it doing anything for her or for him or for them. That church is more messed up than me. I'd be better off staying home. Now, people look at you, and I'm not pointing at anybody in here, but if people look at you and they think those things about the church that you go to, then you need to think about the obedient life that you are or are not living in front of God. Because everybody's good in church, pretty much. But what about when you step away from here? Are you catching yourselves then? God sees everything. God sees everything. And I'm going to tell you what. It's a byproduct. If you're disobedient, the curses are going to get you. If you're obedient, the curses are going to be of no effect and the blessings are going to kick in. And that's not up to me, so you don't have to impress me. Obedience to God leads believers to prosperity. Now, this is a tricky one because I don't preach the gospel of prosperity. I don't preach that God's going to give you everything you want. I do preach that he'll give you everything that you need in his will. Philippians 4:19 promises that. But obedience to God leads believers to prosperity. Because how could you not be prosperous? How could you not be prosperous by obeying God? It's the best thing for your life. You're better off. And I know that some people who hear this think to themselves, well, it's so hard. It's so hard to be good. Then we got one honest person in here. He's over here shaking his head. It is hard. You got the world calling you out. Come over here and cut up. You got your friends calling you up saying, come on over and let's party. You got the TV that shows you stuff that you... I can't believe some of the commercials I see on TV. Forget about the shows now. The commercials have become vulgar. When I was a child, they would be editing out the things I see in commercials today. When I was a child, they'd be editing them out in a movie. If they were to show a movie on TV with some of the stuff commercials have in them today, they would be editing it out, getting rid of it. But not anymore. You turn on the TV now, and it's disgusting. So it is hard. I understand that. But the Holy Spirit helps us in this trek to be obedient. We do it through love for God. We do it for love of Jesus Christ. Obedience to God gives believers an advantage in life over non-believers. What? That's not fair. Why isn't it? Shouldn't you get something for being obedient? Shouldn't there be a reward for being obedient? Or do you think you should be thrown in jail for being an honest person? Raise your hand if you think you should be thrown in jail for being obedient to God or punished. Of course not. That's silly, isn't it? Of course, believers have an advantage in life. I'll tell you one advantage that a believer has. Believers who read their word and apply it to their lives have an advantage of wisdom. That's one example of an advantage. Wisdom in the sense that you can watch other people who are not believers or who are disobedient to God fall in their life and be destroyed in their life. But the word of God is strong in you and you're obedient to it. And you aren't going to do those things that you saw those people do to be destroyed. Are you following me on this? Amen. That's the wisdom of God. But see, there's people out there who never read the Bible. There's Christians out there who have never read the Bible. And they're missing out on all kinds of blessings and advantages in life because they just didn't read that something in the Bible was there to tell them different from what they thought they knew. Okay, so this is obtaining the blessings of God. And we do have an advantage in life over non-believers if we apply what God has given us in our lives to do. But it's like anything else. You could have the tool in your hand and be unwilling to use it. And then what do you have? You have a useless tool because you're not using it. So section two here is obtaining the curses of God. This is the scary part. Because just like the blessings, God's got an opposite effect with the curses. Disobedience brings God's chastising. You disobey God, and you will awaken his chastising. The Bible says that he chastises those whom he loves. Disobedience brings God's chastising. Trust me, you disobey God, and he will chastise you. It may not be immediate, although I have felt the effect of his chastising immediately, and I've seen others, but he will chastise you if you are disobedient to his word.
This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening, and I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.